I added one more podcast to the giant podcast bin. Now you have plucked that podcast out and started listening.
I took my microphone and found some human folk. Then I recorded all the noises while we spoke.
My name is Adam Buxton,
I'm a man. I want you to enjoy this, that's the plan.
How are you doing, podcasts? Adam Buxton here. Thanks very much indeed for joining me once again on the podcast. It is a very beautiful evening out here. Oh, look, there's the lark. You can hear it hanging around above the field. The techno bird. On an earlier podcast this year, I played quite a good section of techno warbling from one of the larks. It's a beautiful sunny evening, even though it's quite cold. But the larks are having fun. Wow, I wish you could be out here with me. Not you, you're a bit of a weirdo. But the rest of you. It's so beautiful at this time of year. Anyway, listen. You're busy, I'm busy. Tell us about the podcast, Buckles. Okay. Podcast number 82 features a sometimes serious but more often silly conversation, surprise, surprise, with British actor, comedian and writer Tash Dimitriou. Hey! Tash has been on the podcast before and she's a friend. It's always a great pleasure to see Tash. She's one of the funniest and nicest people I know. And our conversation included talking about her part in Staff Let's Flats, the sitcom she appeared in alongside the show's creator, who's also her brother, Jamie Dimitriou. Our conversation was recorded in London back in April of this year, 2018. So the show hadn't gone out at that point. But when it did go out on Channel 4, it was very warmly received, and hopes are high for a second series next year, although that hasn't been confirmed as I speak. We also talked about painful breakups, why Tash's love for the film classic It's a Wonderful Life recently turned to anger, getting a part in the TV version of Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement's vampire mockumentary What We Do in the Shadows, which she is filming out in Canada as I speak. I got a text from her yesterday saying she was out there. And finally, Tash told me about her fascination with Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, or ASMR, which meant, at the time we spoke, that she was obsessed with slime. It's why she likes me. But our conversation began with me getting uptight about time, or specifically, my very important worries, which I've shared on this podcast before, about how best to say what year it is. It's one of the big questions facing us in the modern world. Here we go! Tash Dimitriou, today is Wednesday, the 25th of April, 2018. Actually, that's not how I say the date anymore.
How do you say it?
2018. I've been saying 2010, 2012, 2014,
2018.
Someone, 2018. Someone just tweeted the other day, like, mate, you're quite happy right the way through the 20th century to say 19 and then the number. Now, why is it different now?
2019.
It all went wrong with 2000 and 2001 because the fucking film, the Kubrick film, was 2001.
And the year 2000. It wasn't the year 2000.
Exactly. You don't call it 2000.
2000, yeah.
It's weird. I like to bring everything back to David Bowie whenever possible. Mm-hmm. And I was clearing out a shed today and found a box full of old magazines, many of which don't exist anymore. One of which was called Icon magazine. Do you even remember Icon magazine?
Oh yeah, I edited it. So sad for it when it folded, gutted.
And there was an interview with Bowie from around 95, and they were talking about the end of the century and what's it going to be like and is everything going to fall apart. And actually, he was saying, no, it's going to be fine. Everything's just going to carry on as normal. And the only thing I'm worried about is how are we going to say the dates after the year? Say the year 2000, but then what's going to happen? I was like, yes, I've been thinking the same thing, David.
You are almost David Bowie in many ways. In many ways.
So how do you
I'm
say
back.
The year?
How I'm
do
back.
You, she's back. Were you just waiting for an opportunity?
I'm back.
I'm back. How do you say the year I'm back?
How do I say the year? So it's 2018. Yeah, I do. And this is the 2017, 2016, 2015, 2015. There was a change last year, 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
But you know I'm going to say 2020.
Right.
It's the year 2020.
It's 2020.
2020.
And there's going to be a TV program called 2020 Vision.
Yeah. Hi, welcome to the year 20 and 20. The 13th of April, 20 and 20, yeah. 2020. No, it's going to be, it's 2018 and I'm loving it. Good things are happening.
I'm loving it. So what have you been doing since I last saw you?
What have I been doing? Let's think. What have I been up to? Cleaning. One of my flatmates has moved out and I was cleaning a lot of her bottles of vinegar that she left behind.
What was she doing with the vinegar? Was she cooking with it or drinking it?
I don't know. I live with a lot of freaks and lovely freaks.
Are they okay to be called freaks?
They're probably not okay with it, but I am.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they're basically, I live in like a shared flat and it's weird how many bottles of vegetable oil and vinegar you amass.
Because some people drink it, right?
No, not cider vinegar. We're talking red and white.
Oh, okay.
We're talking...
Is cider vinegar the only one that you can drink?
I think so, unless you've got an insanely fascinating taste palette that you're chugging pints of red wine vinegar.
Have you ever drunk cider vinegar?
Every day.
Do you seriously?
No, I did for a while. I'm so, what do you call it?
Thick?
Thick, that's the one. Yeah, I was looking for that word. I'm very thick, so whenever...
that was a fun joke. I don't think
I'm crying.
You're thick.
No, I am. I'm incredible. No, that is the base of it. I'm thick. I can't help. I sit around waiting for people to tell me what I should be doing.
I'm
That's
the same.
What I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, things have been really going well for me. So I thought today was the day that I take some time, get on my hands and knees and polish off the vinegar bottles, go through them, check the use by dates. In your head, you're like, why have I got 16 bottles of red wine vinegar in this tiny kitchen?
In a dusty corner.
And why do they get so sticky? They're in a cupboard.
I think I can tell you why they get so sticky, because it's all the cooking mist. I'm going to use all the technical terms here.
Yeah.
When you cook shit, right, you get like cooking mist and it goes up and it turns into sort of stickiness and then it drops on other shit.
But it's in the cupboard.
It gets everywhere.
It does. It gets everywhere and it's so sticky and
It's horrible. Kitchens
are a nightmare.
They are. That's why you need an extractor fan.
Yeah, we have a fake one. I don't know what the landlord was thinking. We have an extractor fan that has the buttons and everything. But I don't know if it's like just like psychosomatic. You can feel like you're extracting. But hey, girls, you're not going to be extracting anything.
It just doesn't
work. Sticky. I wonder if I stayed in the kitchen for ages, whether I would just, if I lived in a cupboard, whether I'd get really sticky.
Did your extractor fan just not work then?
They told us when we moved in.
It's not
real. By the way, my landlord's French, this does not work. It's a fake.
It's cosmetic.
This one is a fake.
He just went
and
for fake.
And then he ran off giggling with our tenancy agreement.
Hey. We used to have a corner of the kitchen because my wife would use red wine, like back in the day, we're trying to eat less red meat. I've gone off on a load of tangents here.
Me too.
And back in the day when it would be spag bog every night or every other night, there would be a lot of red wine being tossed around and then you would end up with just sort of bottles of red wine with about a fifth left in it. You know what I mean? That would just accumulate. You think, oh, I'll keep that.
Keep that.
We won't throw that.
Use that in a sauce. Use it in
cooking. And then, you know, you open another bottle of wine, have a couple of glasses, a bit left over. Keep that. Use that for the sauce. And until there was, I'm not joking, about 12 bottles of wine with a bit left in there.
Have a party.
From years and years ago. But they were all like with dust and with the slime.
Dirty wine party. That's what you're going to do. A filthy wine party. Welcome. It's mucky wine night. Everyone gets sick, but everyone gets drunk.
That would be good with lots of hipster hobos.
Yeah, mucky wine. Oh my God, this mucky wine is fantastic.
And you drink it in a potty?
You drink it in a pot. Oh, I was thinking you get dirty wine glasses, you don't wash them, and then you turn them upside down, you just put a tiny bit on the sort of flat bottom of the wine, you just lick it off.
Okay.
I love licking up this mucky wine. Adam throws the best parties.
That's going to be the phrase, isn't it? So, yeah, we had loads of that. But this is a good segue.
Yeah.
Talking about fake extractors.
Fake extractors.
Because you and your brother Jamie are doing a thing all about landlords, right?
Yes. Oh, my God. That is a fantastic.
That's quite
that's
good,
a fantastic
isn't it? You
didn't
segue. Even think of that. I'm good at this.
Yeah. So me and Jamie wrote a show called Stathlet's Flats for Channel 4.
Mm.
Well, for E4, and we've just been told it's going to be on Channel 4.
Which was a comedy blap.
It was a comedy blap. Which apparently, do we know, has anyone talked to you about where the name blaps came from?
I think
it's sick, actually. I don't think I want
it's
that.
It's a bit of disgusting sexual slang, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It's a word for a very disrespectful bit of sex play.
Mm-hmm. Slapping your willy on a desk.
Oh, is it on a desk? I mean, that's bad.
I mean, it's just all the stuff.
it would be bad anywhere.
Yeah, it's just
it's
bad.
It's not like...
It's
a desk is bad. Pretty much anywhere would be bad. Desk isn't as bad as some places, but
no,
it's bad.
No, it's not.
Let's agree on that.
No, it's bad. So, yeah, so he made it, I mean, like 6 years ago, 5 years ago, as a series of three shorts where he played lots of different characters, and one of them was Stath, an estate agent, blah, 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 blah. Basically, yeah, it's taken a little while, but we finally made it. We filmed it, finished filming it sort of mid-November, I think, last year, 20 and 17.
Yeah.
And it was the most fun of my life. At the end of 20 and 17, we wrapped.
Who do you play?
So me and Jamie play brother and sister.
Yeah.
He plays Stath, I play Sophie. And it, I mean, come on, it's based entirely on... It's just, you know, my dad's Cypriot, and it's based on our sort of the North London Greek stuff that we grew up with. And then also this whole new element of estate agents, because, I mean, estate agents are, they're garbage. Well, they're not all garbage, but they are. They're like, I don't, like, you know, they're doing a plonkers game.
Yeah.
I mean, Jamie's character Stath is, I mean, he is such an idiot.
Mm.
Like, we've seen it now. They've cut it together and we've watched it all. I absolutely love it. It's really...
The pilot is one of the funniest things ever.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, and well, yeah. So I...
Not the pilot, but the blap. The blap, yeah.
It feels like such a good thing, I think, because it's like a character comedy written by a character comedian, cast with character comedians and comedians. Like, most of the parts, you're like, oh, that's my friend who's a comedian. Like, you know, so much TV that's made nowadays is comedy. There'll be, like, a comedian at the heart of it, and then it's lots of actors and actresses. And I'm not saying actors and actresses aren't funny.
Sounds like it.
But they ain't funny. Guess what? They ain't as funny as comedians. I don't know, it felt like a very special, stupid time in my life. And I was, and like, you know, I'm doing it with my brother who is my best friend and I fancy him.
Mm, nice.
You know, and like Ellie White, who's my comedy partner,
yeah,
she played like my best friend in it.
Is Liam Williams still in it?
Liam's in it. I mean, Al Roberts, who plays my sort of love interest, is one of the funniest human beings. I mean, I can't express with words.
Is Adam Buxton in it?
I thought he was quite busy doing podcasts.
Wait, you didn't even ask him? He definitely would have done it. And he would have been amazing. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe he is in it.
Yeah, maybe...
I should just check.
I should just probably check. I mean, there's things you can do with technology nowadays. I'm not saying we can't CGI you into every scene.
Uh-huh, okay.
I'm not saying we can't, but I'm also not saying we can or we should.
I like the noise you made when I asked if Adam Buxton was in Stat. What's that noise? Static.
I was trying to be like, the microphone's
oh,
cut
see,
out.
Right.
And then I was thinking in my head, how do you make with my mouth the noise of someone being like, like
running
footsteps
away.
Running away, and then, and the door's shut, and a car drives off.
I can do a sound effect.
Okay, yeah, do that. So you ask me that, and then do the sound effect.
Is Adam Buxton in Stat? Come back. Here she comes. Hey.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. What happened? Had a doctor's appointment.
Oh.
Yeah.
Stath, that sounds great.
And it's called Stathlet's Flats now because...
Stathlet's Flats.
Because it's so funny. Me and Jamie recently in America together because we're legends.
Yeah.
And him trying to explain it to American people. So it's Stathlet's Flats. Stath is not a name that everyone knows in England, but in America, they don't have lets up there.
Uh-huh.
And they don't have flats. What? He's what? With a flat white? Like a coffee? And what's a stack? Stas? Staff? It would have to be called Greek Boy Rents Apartments. So, yeah, so it was going to be called Stath, but...
It sounds a bit like staff as in staph infection as well.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that. Thank you. Estathios is the name of the character, but in Greek, it's such a good name for the character, though. It's like the noise of it. Stath. All right, I'm Stath. It works so well.
Yeah. He's Stather.
Stath.
But you could mishear it as Staff.
Oh, God, you could, big time. I mean...
Staphylococcus aureus.
Stop listing names of diseases.
It's a group of bacteria that can cause a multitude of diseases.
Stop talking about bacteria.
You don't want to...
This is my brother and my big break.
Yeah.
You have to stop renaming bacteria. No, it is obviously... Would he have gone back and called himself Tony? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak on his behalf. But yeah, the name thing was a worry.
When's it going to be on?
Well, they don't know yet. There's no official date, which is very useful for this. But I think they're waiting
maybe
for...
Maybe never.
Well, yeah, maybe. Fingers crossed. Yeah. I'd like to keep it sort of private
to myself.
It's a
shame he hasn't got Adam Buxton. Otherwise, it would definitely be on and do really well.
Yeah, what? Just do an audio version of it.
Oh.
Sigh. Sorry, you do podcasts and mainly that.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Ouch. Anyway, listen, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Don't be disappointed if it sinks without a trace. That's often what happens with the best of things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mm-hmm. some great things have sunk without a trace.
Mm.
So don't get all depressed about it. There's no need.
You've got meaner this past year.
I'm just getting you back. I've never tried doing that before. It doesn't sit very well, does it?
No.
I'm not used to being mean. I'm not good at it.
No, you're too sweet. You're too much of a lovely...
Also, if I started... It would be like the dam bursting. I'd just go fucking crazy. All the anger would come out.
I do feel more angry, definitely, these days.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
I just, as you get older, I mean, it's such a boring thing to say, but I just am like... Yeah, he's falling asleep.
Sorry, carry on.
But I don't know if it's the time. I mean, this is getting very serious very quickly, but like, I think... I've realised that being angry as I get older is, it's not okay because it's not helpful, but it's like, I guess with all the stuff that's come out recently, like all the sort of awareness in the, you know, in the industry with like the way women are treated and the horrible stuff that's come out has definitely made me reflect on my life and it's made me angry in that I was talking to my friend about this stuff and it was like, I realised that I've recently broken up with someone.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, and it's fine. It's like the most like mature, healthy, lovely, respectful breakup ever. But it's, you know, you reflect on your relationship past, you reflect on everything that's happened in your life, blah, blah, blah. Makes you reflect, reflect, reflect.
Of course.
Cry, cry, cry. Mm. Sleep in the bin. So, and I was just like, all my relationship, and this has actually nothing to do with the past relationship I had, which was very healthy and loving and great. But it made me be like, my whole life, what's my point? My point is that I watched It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas.
And now you're furious.
Yeah, and now I'm furious because I was sat there watching it being like, this film I've watched because I'm such a kooky sweetheart, every Christmas I go and find a place where It's a Wonderful Life's playing in like an everyman cinema, something like a red velvet chair and a cup of tea. And I always loved it. And then this year I was watching it and I was like, shut up. Every woman in this film is wearing an apron. Every woman in this film is crying because this complex, incredible man can't handle how much people love him and how much responsibility and how much he's helped everyone. And every single woman is giving him a plate of sausages or like tending to the children and like tiptoeing out the room.
Mm.
And then it just made me reflect back on every book, every film. It's just everything I've loved. And obviously by doing comedy and acting, I've always done this because... I love it. I grew up being like a fiend for books and art and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched, was it Indiana Jones or Crocodile Dundee? Crocodile Dundee. And I was like...
A lot of very strong female characters in that.
Exactly. So there was some Indian women dancing in the corner and then a blonde woman screaming and being like, I hate being dirty.
Well, the worst... Well, not the worst one, but a particularly bad offender is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah. It might have been that one, actually.
Even at the time, though, people were saying, what the hell is this? But, like, literally all Kate Capshaw does is scream.
Yeah. So I guess all that stuff just slowly seeped in my stupid, thick brain and would have seeped into the stupid, thick brains of the boys. And then you look back at your relationship past, you look back at your interactions with men, you look back at stuff, and you're like, so much of that is because everyone thought it was okay. Like, for my, like, 14th birthday, I think what I wanted was a handmade corset. Because I'd seen, like, a music video where, like, Christina Aguilera was wearing a corset or something, and I'd been like, yes, I need to get my waist small and I need my boobs pumping.
Oh, my God.
And there was this article in one of the girls' magazines I had that was, like, the perfect Christmas present or whatever. And it was, like, this place in Camden where they hand... And I was like, that is something I can wear with any outfit. It's going to be sexy. It's going to be black with a red lining. And it's like, what was... I was, like, corsets. Mm-hmm. Let's strap you in. Let's get your waist...
It's medieval. No, it's very odd.
But
it's even earlier than medieval. It's one of the... It's almost...
It all started with the corset, I think, is where I'm going with this.
It's almost like getting your feet bound, isn't
it? Yeah, but it's insane, like, that... And, like, I was like, yeah, this is going to be great. I'll wear it under T-shirts.
I never wanted a corset. I mean, maybe I could use one, but
codpiece?
No. A codpiece, that's different. Certainly,
yeah,
the most interested I ever got in sport was when I saw that the cricketers were wearing their boxes. I thought, oh, I'd like
cricketers
to
wear boxes?
That's what they're called.
Oh, for their willies, a willy box?
Yeah, a willy protecting box.
Oh,
I think
keep
it's
talking,
called...
I'm about to come. Keep going. A willy in a box? Uh-oh. But yeah, I guess, I don't know why I went off on this tangent because you said angry.
No, it's a good tangent. And I apologise for...
snoring.
For doing the snoring joke at the beginning.
No, you didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know I was going to get like this. But I do think I've had fights with my male friend, not fights, but like debates where in the past, like they've talked about a girl that they're seeing or something, you know, like completely innocent, you know, and like with friends, I know that they're good people, but I've been like, hang on, stop there. Don't say that. Like, it's actually, something has to stop. And if it takes me being a bit extreme and ruining a dinner party by standing up and being like, no, that's not okay. But the same for my female friends. Like, if I hear anyone being like, he had a dog's willy, I'll be like, we have to try and be better.
What would that even mean though?
A dog's willy?
Yeah.
For me...
Like a little lipstick.
I would say it's a little lipstick. It's small. It's like maybe a bit rounder at the end. It's thin. I haven't really experienced that. I cannot believe this is what I'm talking about. Oh, trying to fight for change and then describing a dog's penis. For me, a dog's penis is perfect and it's what I'm looking for. And I've yet to find it. But I feel like social conditioning, I think, is like got way more to blame.
But do you think, though, it's interesting talking about It's a Wonderful Life, because I suppose well-loved films like that get a pass in some ways, don't they? Because they're seen as being so fundamentally good-hearted.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not about societal attitudes towards the sexes. There's other things to...
Totally,
recommend it.
Totally, totally.
And it is a product of the times that it was made in, et cetera, et cetera, et
I guess
cetera.
It just makes you look at it and you go, this is a film that is like universally loved and like is like played everywhere.
Yeah, but you're right. It is quite jarring a lot of the time now. I mean, even films from as recently as 10 years ago or something.
No, it's always from the male perspective. It's the guy or the man has the interest, is funny, is the goofball, is the complex one, is the, you know...
It's even less than 10 years. Films are only just starting to change in that respect.
And I don't think it's about, like, making everything from now on about a strong, complex woman. But it just makes you as a person reflect on your life and you go, everything I've loved, every piece of artwork that's inspired me, every film, every bit of music like 99% of it has been this, like, telling this story of men being...
His story.
It's been his... Yeah. Exactly. It's been his story.
Ancient his story. Story.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Now, oh my now you're God. Waking up, right?
Hugh Mann. Oh, my God.
Are you going to start spelling woman differently? Woman. Because, I mean, that is a thing. Some people do use a different spelling for woman.
What do they spell it as?
W-O-M-O-N, I think.
Woman.
Woman.
Woman. Maybe. I mean, it's so hard. It's like all these issues, all this stuff that's happening, there's pros and cons. And I think there's like being too extreme on one side doesn't help. And, you know, I think it's good that all this stuff is being discussed and that it's so good for the world. But it does, I guess, as I can't speak for men, I can't speak for most of the other things that people, you know, lots of other things that are happening. But one thing I can speak for is I am a woman. I am a woman. And I... feel it, babes. I'm feeling it. And I'm thinking so much of the weird, stupid stuff I did in my sexual past and my relationship past and my attitude to men and my feelings about myself are down to Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time or Baby Got Back.
What does Baby Got Back even mean?
My anaconda don't want none unless you got buns, hun. I can do that. You know, it's like it's a guide speaking about girls with tiny little... itty bitty titties and a big really? Old booty butt. Not really, but I just remember because I'm a pear. Yeah. I'm small on top, big at the back. Uh-huh. I would always listen to that song and be like, oh, well, at least there's some guy out. Sir Mix-a-Lot likes me. But look, there is such a huge, huge thing, and it's probably should be a series of podcasts that I should probably start doing it right about now.
I think we should both do it and wake people up.
Wake me up inside. Talk about a women's prime.
Is that the theme?
That's going to be the theme.
That's good.
I haven't thought it out.
No, that's carry on.
I got the copyright from Evanescence.
Evanescence, is that?
Yeah, the band that sang it. Oh. I actually got catcalled the other day and I was like, I genuinely shouted back at them, come on, it's 2018. But the catcall was really weird. I was eating edamame beans and this boy went, oh, fit girl, you should give those beans the pigeons.
What does that mean?
This is very hard for me to unpack. I don't know if you're like a nature, you're sort of a wildlife person or what are you, a pervert? Hey, pretty girl, you should give those edamame beans to the birds, feed them to the birds. And I was like, are you taking the mickey out of me for not eating meat? I don't, yeah, no.
Hey, pretty girl, you know there's beans you have, you should get the beans and... put them on a...
Well, you pop some out, help the birds out, and give them individually to the birds. Don't have too much...
birds. You know who likes beans?
Birds.
Birds.
Sorry about that. I just really went off on a tangent about women.
No, quite right. It's time things changed. I mean, I don't really relish the prospect because I benefited hugely from the way things used to be done. And yeah. I think men are a bit like, oh, God, I thought we were over all that. I thought it was all fucking sorted. But no, it's not.
We got the vote. We didn't get much else. Am I right?
Yeah. Come on, sisters.
Come on.
Hello, my friend. It's good to see you again. I got to say you're looking great. I love what you've done with your nipples and your knees and your shiny bald pates. La la la, boo, 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 la la la.
So you've had a breakup.
Mm.
How long were you going out, if you don't mind me asking?
Nearly 2 years.
2 years.
Big time. I just think breakups we are not designed for them as human beings. I've had them all. I've had ones where you're like, this is too hard. We're like ruining each other's lives now. It needs to end. There's sort of an ease in that because you're like, this can't carry on. I'm going to bite the skin off your face and enjoy it any minute now. But then it's painful and it's tragic. And then there's a person who you were so close to that you can't sort of speak to because it ends like messily. Mm. Or it's loving, it's respectful, it's like mutual. I think it's very weird. It's very, since going through my breakup, I am feeling very, very, very strongly that I never, ever, ever, ever want to be in a relationship again.
Uh-huh, yeah.
because I'm like, I can't go through this again. I cannot. I don't know if having someone to hang out with on a Sunday is worth this. Like, I feel like I have genuinely been walking into walls for the past month or so since it happened.
What's the feeling, though? Is it that you'll never find someone so nice again, or...?
No, just the feeling that without this person, whoever they are, you can't survive. You can't function.
Yeah.
Like, I need to know what someone's had for dinner. Why is there no one who wants to tell me what they've had for dinner? Why does no one care what I've had for dinner? Rice, again. Like, it's so weird. And, like... this is very sad. I was doing hot yoga because I'm a cliche. I'm a walking cliche. Doing a lot of that since the breakup. And
Bikram.
Bikram, very... I can talk to you about that for a long time. It's so addictive. Did you know, just such a tangent, did you know that there was a man, same thing, went through an awful breakup, lost his job, terrible time, got seriously into hot yoga? Because it's addictive. It does something to you. You get so into the sweat, I cannot tell you. And because you're hot, you can bend like you shouldn't be able to bend. And he wrote a whole book about it because there are these things called illegal bends in hot yoga.
Really?
There's a bend that you do where you walk your hands down a wall and then you walk your legs in.
Oh, that
so is, essentially, and loads of people are doing
illegal.
It
yeah.
and breaking their ribs.
Right, that's why it's illegal.
And this man wrote a book about being like, hot yoga beware, but I'm all up. Let's break some ribs. Let's get some attention from a doctor. I'm into it. So I was doing hot yoga and a woman, I hear so many amazing things in the changing room because it's in an area that's populated by lots of lovely sort of mummers. Mm-hmm. And there was an elder woman, older woman.
An elder.
An elder.
She was an elder of the community.
There was a wizard in the, yeah. There was a wizard in the changing room, naked. And she was talking about her friend. I'm assuming she's sort of in her 60s. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about her friend who wants to get on a yoga retreat because she's just become widowed. And she was crying while she was telling this story. And she was like, I've just been with her this weekend. I'm going to cry thinking about it. And she was just like, this woman doesn't know what to do. She's not like wailing and crying. And I haven't been wailing and crying. I've been doing a lot of the saddest, which is just silently weeping. Mm-hmm. And she's just, this woman, her friend, is just like, she's like, you're there with her. And she's not like on her knees screaming, but she's just like, I've got all this love to give. And I don't know who to give it to. And I don't know where to put it. And I keep trying to be like, oh, okay, it's okay. Come back now. Come back now. It's fine. And he's not coming back. And I was like, fuck that. I don't want to be a 60-year-old woman who I was like, what? I was like thinking, I bet they had a lovely life. Sounds like they had a lovely marriage. Like earwigging, P.S. naked. Everyone's naked in the changing room. And just like listening with my ear, my bum. And
your bum trumpet.
My bum ear came out and listened so I could get a real, so really get this story so I could tell it as an anecdote on a podcast. But yeah, I was like, I bet they had a lovely life. I bet they had a lovely marriage. And wow, that's so incredible.
Yeah, but
great.
You don't want to get into the frame of mind of like, oh, I never want to get into a relationship because it'll end.
Because like someone's going to die. Well, I don't know if that's right, Adam. Because I was just like... She's, you know, doing yoga retreats. She sounds like she's quite healthy. She could potentially live for another 30 years. 30 years of being like, come home, please come
home.
It
won't be 30 years. She'll
10
be okay.
years then. Like, I was just like, I don't know how up for that I am. I mean, obviously, I'm much more sensitive and vulnerable to all that in my current circumstances, being a breakee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. But you know, the clichés... are clichés because they're true, and time does heal all wounds. Maybe not all of them.
I honestly,
but it certainly makes them more bearable.
You know, I have friends or friends of friends who I've heard, you know, horrific things. They were engaged and then it got called off last minute, you know, wedding dress in the cupboard, whatever. The breakup I just had was just like, this isn't quite right.
Yeah, yeah.
Type situation. And still I was like, I can't sleep. I can't
no, of course.
Function. I don't know what to do. And I was like, I'm not up for this again. I don't think. And also I'm like, the next person I get with, listen out, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to marry her because I cannot go through this again. I'm like, I know it's only been a month, but it genuinely feels like I've lived 18 years
yeah.
in the last month of just like, I've watched reality TV shows about everything you can think of. I watched all series of Friends about 58 times through, and then like,
what about with your patriarchy goggles on? That's
that was tricky.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. it's so, Friends is another, let's do a podcast about Friends. It's so interesting because all the female characters, even Phoebe, their main aim is let's get married, let's have kids. Mm. Monica loves cleaning. And like, I mean, I don't feel like I've really any authority to talk about this because it's not my experience, but the lack of ethnic diversity is like mind-boggling.
Yes. Yeah. No, it is. It's
for,
weird.
For a show that ran for 10 series, 24 episodes a series, to have that little representation of ethnic diversities, you are like, and oh my God, on top of that, the amount of gay jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't like.
I was never, I'd like to point out that I was never a fan.
Oh my God, I'm such a fan.
I can't pretend that it was for all those reasons necessarily.
No, well,
like,
yeah,
oh,
I mean,
this is, well, there needs to be more diversity in it. But I mean, you know, it certainly when you look back at it, it's absolutely stark.
However, that was such an insanely well-written show. Those performances and characters did everything. I mean, they did everything that, for me personally, that a comedy, you know, like there was pathos. There was, I mean, I've cried laughing so many times, like. David Schwimmer, whoo, mama, Ross Geller, that character just shines. I mean, Lisa Kudrow is like, she's done the comeback and stuff since. I'm all of them, Matt LeBlanc, let's name them all, Matthew Perry, Jen Ann, Courtney C. They're my people. I think as but then you, it's so complex because like watching those women do that show, I was like, I want to do that. So, you know, they were there, they were on TV, and they were funny, and they weren't just, like, they're all of them are mad. They're not straight women.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess, a lot of their storylines were the marriage storylines.
Also, you know, I think there's a temptation to sort of think, oh, we're very close to solving all these issues.
Yeah.
Give us a couple of years, everything's going to be sorted out.
Mm.
No, in 10 years' time, people will be looking back at stuff that we're doing and saying, no, you can't say that.
Yeah,
you can't do
this podcast.
That.
This podcast used an example. This
podcast
particular episode
will be held up. It'll be one of the first items on the agenda for people to say, what the shit was going on there?
Yeah. It's really, it's so, I mean, it's all, I'm going back to the whole stuff, but like, I remember thinking Sex and the City was like, oh, it's a bit risky because, you know, so many of these character storylines are tied up with looking for a man. But then at the same time, it was a show led by four women. Like, Samantha is, like, such a mad character, but, like, actually incredible because she just wanted to fuck all the time. And I want to fuck all the time. My friends want to fuck all the time. Like, we don't, you know, it's like, I feel weird saying this, but it's like, I want to fuck all the time without not hurting anyone, you know, and being, using, you know, being safe.
Sure.
And it's like, that was a show that did that.
Someone's going to make a meme out of you saying,
I want to fuck all the time. And I'm newly single. Christ.
It's going to get played before you come on stage.
I want to fuck all the time. I want to.
Here she is. I want to fuck all the time, girl.
They're going to auto-tune it. I want to fuck all the time. I want to fuck all the time. But it was amazing. Like, you know, that show is. And Miranda is such an. Like, all of them, you know. But then again, you know, they're so much of it. But then there was the episode where Miranda's like, what do we think? What do we feel? You know, there is that episode, I'm quoting it, but like, because they're doing is talk about men's balls. And it's, I don't know, it's a minefield. I shouldn't have trod on it because I'm letting off grenades left, right, centre. Just lost an ear. But yeah, it's food for thought.
It certainly is.
Is it interesting food for thought? Is it tasty food for thought?
It's food for thought, isn't it?
It's a little bit of food for thought, Adam. That's the thing.
Shall we talk about Brexit?
It's curry. It's a little bit of more curry for thought.
The thing that I think about sometimes, which I think you're probably not supposed to think about once you're married, is what are you supposed to do with all those relationships and all the feelings that you had and all the love you had for another human being and all the times you shared and the times you were close? You know, you are supposed to just completely expunge them. Obviously, there's a practical reason for doing that because, you know, it's like going out with someone who's got loads of photographs of their ex lying
around
everywhere.
That was our surfing.
Right.
It was a fantastic day. I don't know. I'm actually fascinated. Like, I don't know. Like, I've never been married. What you've done is like, you've done it. You've got married. You've made human beings with another person. Yeah. You've.
Don't need to be married to do that, of course.
You don't need to be.
I mean, it's a very outdated institution as far as many people are concerned.
Yeah, completely, totally. I can't think of anything more embarrassing than walking down an aisle. I mean, come off it. It's so holding a bunch of flowers and walking down the aisle, especially if you do like the traditional walk, which is like one step, I can't. It's so embarrassing. But anyway, that's yeah. But I'm like fascinated to know like what it can't be easy. It cannot be easy. Just like, can it? Is it just like you are just you and your wife? You just have this like huge ball of love that you live in?
No.
That's what I mean. I doubt it very much. No. But
it's the whole point, I think, is that it's you go through this crazy ceremony and you do it in front of your friends because the whole thing is, you know, it's a bit of a weird thing having a relationship with a person and expecting it to go on for a long time, let alone for the rest of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all just...
Were you 100% sure when you were doing it? Were you like, this is great?
What do you think I'm going to say?
I don't, well, it depends. But I feel like
I know what you're saying. What you're saying. It is weird. It's like making a gesture to the rest of society and to your friends and to yourself.
Your society, your personal society.
Yeah.
Did it feel amazing? Were you like, wow?
Yeah, well, it feels like a big deal.
Yeah,
it feels like I shouldn't fuck this up. I should take this seriously.
Mm, mm.
And also, you know, it's just another technique for trying to ensure that you're both around if and when you have children. And
it felt right. It did feel right for
it's
you.
It's a technique, isn't it? Yeah, just for giving yourself the best shot and just for helping you through those moments where otherwise you would just say, you know what? I think let's call it a day.
You said you didn't like my podcast.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Exactly. Because of course you go through those moments, but then it's quite good to, I mean, some people would disagree. They would say, well, I don't want some weird, outdated, ludicrous institution governing my decision making and making me feel guilty about doing what I should be doing, which is getting out of a relationship which doesn't work anymore or anything like that. But you know, why is that any worse than any other technique that you use for making a relationship last?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's quite nice just to think, actually, it would be so embarrassing and such a pain in the ass to get divorced that we'll just stay together.
Oh, my, I mean, oh, I like...
Hey, darling, if you're listening to this, you know I love you, right? And all I'm doing is I'm being honest about the experiences that every married person has.
I think it's interesting.
The idea is you go out with someone and you really love them and you think, wow, I love them so much. I love everything about them. I don't think I ever need to go out with anyone else again. I think it's time to get married.
Yeah.
Because that's how much I love this person and they're right for me. And I think they may be the one. Mm. And isn't it amazing that I've actually met the person that's right for me and they happen to live very close. And and they know a lot of the same friends that I do.
So,
anyway,
yeah.
For whatever reason, I've lucked out.
Yeah.
And now we're going to show the world how lucky we are by making a commitment.
Big party. Yeah, there's going to be a room with Pick-a-Mix in
big
it.
Big party. We're going to go to church, even though we've never been to church before. And this is great. But then, you know, the first time comes along where you think, oh, I'm really angry with them.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I'm going to get beyond it. And I think that this thing that I'm angry about is probably never going to go away. And or conversely, wow, they seem really, really upset with me about that thing that I did. And I'm not sure I'm ever really going to be able to apologize sufficiently for that. And how's that going to work for the rest of our lives? And it works if it works,
yeah.
Because you just think, well, I promised...
Oops.
So
I made a promise.
I made a promise, and actually, you know, it's quite good sometimes.
I mean,
to
there is
stick like, to a promise.
I do think, yeah, totally. Like there is, there's like two. I'm split down the middle. I feel like there's the one half of me that's like never again, never ever again.
Yeah,
and then the other half of me is like, all I want to do is get married. Someone ask me to marry them. Someone commit to me.
Yeah.
Someone put me in a house. Someone give me a sink. Someone tell me everything's going to be okay forever and I'll be safe. And I don't care if I'm sad or I'm not crazy about them, I'll be fine. Because it's lovely and it's secure and it's life is nice, can be nicer when shared with someone else if they're the right
indeed,
person.
But the idea that if you make a long-term commitment to someone, whether it's just in a relationship or marriage or whatever, the idea that you're somehow banishing loneliness is completely wrong. Because,
yeah.
Of course, you... And there's a peculiar kind of loneliness within a marriage as
oh
well.
Oh, my God, yeah. I've felt
and within
lonely.
A long-term relationship.
Yeah, I've felt lonely in relationships before, and it's effing bleak.
Yeah.
Because you're like, but I'm doing it. I've got the partner.
Yeah. And it, but if, and you know, the longer you stick with it, then you break through into some sort of, you get rewards. It's a bit like getting older, you know. It's mainly, actually, no, I'm not going to say that, because it sounds like I'm implying that marriage is mainly shit, which I don't think it is. But it's a bit like getting older, you know. There's quite a few difficult things about it, but you do get some rewards.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really selling marriage here, aren't I?
I mean, you're going to be naked in a female changing room soon.
She started listening to the podcast. Like, she never used to listen
it's
to
good.
It.
I mean, I'm trying to think, when have I ever heard a gentleman folk talk about marriage without it being like, our missus, our ball and chair? I think it's anyone, a man or a woman. I'm fascinated to hear, you know, what's it all like? My parents are... Actually, I was going to say, my parents aren't married and never have been and aren't together, but they are married now because...
Are they seriously now married?
It's more security with the sort of house and stuff like that. And my mum, I think before she had squatter's rights in the house, but now she has full rights to the house. But yeah, they got married. My dad wore a pair of trousers. The fly was broken and he had... And he had pissed down the front of his flies because he'd gone to do a wee and the fire alarm had gone off. So he got a bit scared and dribbled a bit of wee-wee. Oh, and the woman who did this hosted the ceremony was wearing sunglasses throughout. And the other woman in the room was eating a pack of Doritos, which she generously offered to me and Jamie throughout this. Do you want some? Do you want one? My dad forgot my mum's name and it was a fantastic day. And then we went for a buffet afterwards, which was great. Speaking of my dad, actually, he's been a real support since the breakup.
Has he?
My parents rent rooms in my house, in my family house, to foreign language. It's students who come over here to learn English because there's an English language school nearby. And my dad made very, very good friends with one of them, an 18-year-old boy. My dad's 78. So just a cool 60 years between them. He made big friends with him and went out to Turkey to visit him because he missed him.
No. Yeah. That's now, nice. I mean...
Were they having sex? Who knows? I don't know.
How long did he know him for?
3 months.
3 months.
Maybe less.
Did you and Jamie feel threatened by
very? I mean, this bond? The first time we met, I was with my boyfriend at the time, and we had arranged to go for a walk with the dogs at the park. And we were like on the high street, and I arranged to meet my dad outside the supermarket. And I looked across the road, and I just saw this young. I was like, I heard the dogs barking, and I saw them, and I was like, who the hell is that boy holding the dogs? And then about like a mile away was my dad waving, hello, Tasha. And I was like, what's going on? And he'd not told me, but he'd brought his mate with him. And this boy just carried my dad's bag the entire day. My dad would be like, Dogan, his name is Dogan. Dogan, apple, please. And he just silently didn't speak, get him an apple out, give it to him. Dogan, nut, please. He likes to, my dad's favourite thing is getting stuff and decanting it into other stuff. Like, that's his favourite thing. So he had, when we go out, he's always got like an old jam jar of water. I'm not exaggerating. He'll have like a very, very heavy like pestle and mortar with cling film on it filled with nuts. I mean,
what does he do? He grinds them up?
No, just carrying them. It's probably the main reason why I could never live at home again. Like when my brother lived there, it drove him. You know, he'd do things like someone's taken a spoon out of the mayonnaise, like a teaspoonful, and he's like, oh, that's empty now. So may as well fill that up with some salad cream, get it to the top again. Like one time my brother went to get some jam out the fridge, got the jam jar out, stuck his knife in the thing and was like, what? And inside the jam jar was one beetroot and one chili. And my brother went, Dad, what the hell is this? Where's the jam? What have you put in this jar? And he was like, Jamie, I know exactly what's in that jar. One beetroot and one red chili. So he knows what he's doing. There's not confusion there. He's just decanting, changing things up.
Why has he got a jar of water?
Because he's like, you take water out with you.
Right, he might want to drink.
Yeah, but you put it in a jam jar, obviously. I mean, his bag is the heaviest thing you have ever felt.
Yeah.
He's not the most stable man. He's had 2 knee transplants. You know, he's getting on. He's got a real hump, like a real hobble, because he was a chef for so long, so he's bent over pots and pans his whole life.
Yeah.
and the steam, the stickiness got to him in the kitchen and has set him in a permanent bow. But yeah, he's a very contrary person. Anyway, so he went to Turkey to visit this man.
To visit Doğan.
Doğan, the 18-year-old.
And so, was he nice, Doğan?
Right, this is my experience of him. Me saying hello and him going, yes. And then me saying, oh, sorry. And like nearly tripping over him because I didn't realise he was there. And him being like, yes. So that's my experience of Doğan. Cut to a few weeks ago, my dad got back from Turkey and went, have you got back with your boyfriend yet? No, still sadly broken up. And he went, well, I've got something very exciting to tell you. It's a little bit crazy, but please listen to me. Okay, what? I've met someone who is very deeply in love with you, Natasha. I was like, right, who? Who have you met in Turkey? And he went, the boy. Which boy? The 18-year-old boy. Doğan? Yes, the one. And he said, Doğan, on like the third day of their trip, he was like, he couldn't hold it anymore. I was telling him every day, Doğan, something is wrong with you. What's going on? I mean, the boy doesn't speak English or Cypriot, so I don't know what the conversation was happening. Doğan, he had his head in his hands. He said, I can't hold it in any longer. I love her. I'm crazy for her. I want to marry her. And then he said, it's going to be very good for you because his dad is going to give you his hotel, going to buy your house, and his dad has also promised to give you all his wisdom. And
the full hotel plus wisdom package.
Exactly. And so I'm moving to Turkey. I'm marrying an 18-year-old. And I was like, Dad, come on, because he loves to exaggerate. And I was like, he didn't say love. And he went, he did. I went, that's insane. We met once. He went, well, Dash, love is very crazy. It happens whenever it can. And then he told him about me being in America and doing this pilot I just did. He said, and he says to wish you all the best luck in the world. And he hopes you are the princess of all the cinemas in Texas. It sounds like I'm making up, like, so this is going back to Stath. So much of the stuff that like has happened with mine and Jamie's dad over the years, like Jamie couldn't put it in the show because he was like, it's like you'd write that and go, oh, come on, that never happened.
Yeah.
You know, he never wore women's glasses all the time because he stole them from women that came to visit his cafe. He never did that. So, nah, he did. But, you know, like, there's, I mean, it's just endless. He did, he actually came and cameoed in the TV, in the
staff. Oh, did he?
So, this, I mean, maybe it's more of a physical thing, you need to see it. But yeah. Basically, the final episode, there's a party. And so we were with, like, Greek people there. So we were like, have Dad in the background at a party. We wanted to give him a line. Jamie went and worked on it for about 3 hours trying to get him to say the line. But the line was something like, where are the grapes? And my dad's like that. Are the grapes? They're in the kitchen. No, Dad, the line is, where are the grapes? You want grapes? I get some grapes. Where are the grapes? I got raisins as well. You know raisins? It's actually small, very small, wrinkly grape. And so my brother's like, right, can't do this. So we'll just have him in a background shot. We'll just get him. And we got him sitting down on a sofa. And so we were like, you're just having a conversation with someone, but don't look at the camera. Obviously stared right into the camera and smiled the entire time. So we were like, okay, let's not have you that. What can we do? Looking to the side, but then looking to the side, he still would like go and look, his head would turn 360 degrees to face the camera. So it was like, maybe, okay, let's have a random shot of like an old Greek man asleep at the party. So we were like, we'll have you being asleep at the party. Action. And he does that thing where you do the most obvious fake sleeping that like children do when they don't want to get in trouble because they should be asleep, where you just like blink loads.
Yeah.
So he's just blinking. And then in the end, we worked out that the only way to get him in is if we had him sleeping with sunglasses on so you couldn't see his eyes. And luckily that shot made it in the show, show. So that's really good.
Hey, you'll need to move much faster in the street. Come on, I want you to be speedy with your feet. You're wasting my valuable time. I got people to meet, but instead I'm moving very slowly behind your ass. Hey, I'm important. I need to travel faster. How can you walk so slowly? I'm very important. You are a walking disaster.
Earlier this year, you mm-hmm. filmed a pilot.
Big time.
Big time with, you tell me.
We're talking a Taika Waititi. We're talking Jermaine the Clement. We're talking Matt the berry tree. We're talking Kevan Novak.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing. And also, we're talking the guy who is the shape from Shape in the Water. The shape was in it.
Shape of water.
Shape.
It wasn't called Shape in the Water.
The Shape and the Water.
It's in that film. Matt, it's a shape in the water.
Is it not? The shape. Okay, the shape of the... He was in it. The shape.
The shape.
I mean, the man has done it all.
Doug Collins.
Yeah.
Hello, fact-checking Santa here. The name of the actor that played the amphibian man in The Shape of Water was Doug Jones, not Doug Collins. Merry Christmas.
He plays the Baron.
Yeah.
So he had like the full prosthetics. He does all the prosthetic work.
So this is a TV version of What We Do in the Shadows.
The film.
Which was Taika Waititi's film from a few years back.
Yeah, and Jermaine's.
Jermaine Clement in it. Jermaine.
I think they wrote it together.
Did they? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think.
And it was really funny. That was one of the first Taika Waititi films I saw before I'd seen, obviously, he hadn't made it yet, Hunt for the Wilder People.
I saw Eagle vs. Shark before that. Thank you very much.
Eagle vs. Shark,
which
you did. Right.
I mean, it's so, the female lead in that, Lily, she plays character Lily. I don't know what her name is. I should know that stuff like that. She's unbelievable. That was like, I was like, I want to do that one day, be her.
And Taika obviously directed Thor Ragnarok.
Big time. Thor Ragnarok.
Well. So you are very much in the right place at the right time.
Oh, big time, baby. I'm on the floor in my kitchen cleaning vinegar
How
bottles.
How the hell did that happen?
Actually, big shout out to the AB podcast a few months before, so the last summer of 2017, I had a very small part in an up-and-coming film that Ian Curtis,
he's back and he's directing romantic comedies.
Ian Amorris directed, which stars Claudia O'Doherty, my sweet girl.
Yeah.
Written by very good friends Joe Parham and Keith Cushy, wrote this, directed a film called The Festival about, anyway, so I was in it. Mm-hmm. By the way, we had dinner one night and Jermaine's in that film and we were chatting and he was sat next to me and I was like, oh God, oh God. And it was a curry restaurant. So I was like, there's going to be poppadoms everywhere. I'm not going to be able to hold back. This is a disaster. And then he was like, you're Natasha, right? I heard your An Unboxing podcast. I absolutely loved it. And I was like, yes. So thanks to you, babes.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I guess that, I don't know if that had anything to do with me. I don't think it had anything to do with it. But it was very nice that he knew I existed. Thank you.
I'm pretty sure that's why you got the job.
Yeah, big time.
Do you do an accent?
Yes, like a sort of, I mean, it's very mixed. It's like Transylvania meets. Quite often, Jermaine actually filming was like, Tash, you're going a bit Cockney again. So really smashing it.
Give me a bit of that. Can you give me a flavour of the accent?
I'm Nadja. I am Nadja. And I am, my boyfriend is Laszlo, played by Matt Berry. So it's like Russian cum
Eastern
racist.
European/racist, yeah. That's my favourite.
Russian cum racist. So yeah, and then I got a call from my agent. I couldn't believe it. I genuinely jumped up and down screaming. Mm. Like, I nearly smacked my head on the ceiling. Because like, I've worked on some amazing things in my career. I've been very like lucky, but I've also, you know, had the classic, it's been 9 months and all I've done is clean vinegar.
Yeah.
And so it was very, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this stuff doesn't happen. Like, no, come on, don't be stupid. And yeah, and then I had to go and get my work visa from the American embassy.
Where did you make the pilot?
In LA.
No way.
In Hollywood, the big time. I mean, I genuinely, when we like drove to the set for the first time, I sound like I'm a very emotional person, but I'm actually don't cry that much because I take a lot of anxiety medication, which kind of keeps that on the D-lo. But I welled up. Like I was like, it fed the disgusting little rat in me that wants to be a film star. But it was so overwhelming. And because everything there is bigger, it's craft services, which is the sort of catering.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there 24/7 and it's like a sweet shop. It's like a news agent. The only thing they don't have is magazines,
porn mags.
I love. Smutty mags, which obviously I would love.
Yeah.
But it's me going, oh, it's like a mini supermarket. Honestly, they've got a box of bubblegum here. Oh my God, there's a sushi chef and I don't even eat fish. Just shut up. I was taking carrier bags and ruining takes because I was rustling my carrier bag, filling it up with apple crisps. And like cake bars and like, no one taking these donuts, I'll have them. Yeah, it's everything is just bigger. The set, they had these like paintings, old paintings done of me and Matt because we're and Kay Van's character, that they, just everything. It was like, if you've seen the film, the designer who designed the film designed the house, and it's just like there was so much taxidermy. You know, stuff in England just doesn't have as much of a budget. That's just the way it is. And I was like, you know, one piece of this taxidermy would be the entire art department budget for a show in England. You'd be like, you can have the wolf, but you've got to do the show. They've got to live on the wolf and inside the wolf's mouth. And every scene has to take place with the wolf.
And what's the premise for the TV version then? Is it like, because for people who haven't seen it, the film is a mockumentary about a group of vampires from different eras sharing a house.
Living in modern time, modern day New Zealand.
Yeah.
So it's still a mockumentary.
Yeah.
It's quite similar, but the difference is that, I guess, because it's a series, it has to have a longer sort of story. So it's about us, we've been told to go and take over the world, like the new world, and we are stupid. So we've just ended up landing where the boat docked, which was Staten Island. And my character is a horny vampire, which is essentially who I am.
Well, we've established that.
Exactly, so it's perfect. But yeah, it was incredible. The only weird thing about it is, and I will say this, is that the film is so well loved, it's very weird to do a film and then a TV series. Usually it goes the other way around. So I am so sorry to all the fans of the film if we ruin it by making a TV series of it.
Can you think of any other examples of comedy films that have
Only
turned
into... Only Fools and Horses? That was a big blockbuster, wasn't it? So I had an idea. I was like, I was thinking about, on my Votes for Women tack, I was thinking of the films that I'd loved and watched and that had made me be like, maybe affected me in a not so positive way without realising. Mm. And I was thinking about Grease. Love that film. Love them tunes. Love that. Love it. However, you know, she's what she's doing is effectively going, I'm going to take off my nice comfy skirt and I'm going to be sewn into a pair of
I'm going to dress like
holes.
A woman of the evening and I'm going to start smoking.
And I'm going to start smoking. I'm going to change myself completely to comply with what you want, Danny Zuko. And so, you know, that definitely got into my brain when I was younger. I was like, I need to be sewn into my trousers. When my mum is sewing me into my trousers, that is when I've made it. That's when I'm it. I've got it. Everything. I'd like to make a film that is two people just agree that they're fine and that they probably shouldn't be together. And then I was like, what would it be called? Slime. Because also, for those of you who don't know, I'm making a lot of slime right now to deal with my breakup.
That sounds revolting.
Do you not know about the slime craze?
No.
Right, so my friend called me this morning, who I'm writing something with, and she was like, we have to meet up next week. And she was like, what's your diary for next week? And I'm not kidding. It was Monday, broadband coming. Tuesday, cinema with mum. Saturday, Sunday, slime event.
What the shit is slime?
Slime?
Slime. You can keep on saying it, but I'm still not
going to understand. You don't know
what slime is? No, apart from like a substance that is slimy.
Yeah, slime. Like, that's exactly what it is. It's a colourful substance that's slimy, but there is a slime revolution happening.
Well, it's come back. I mean, slime
was... It's back and it's bigger than ever and it's more colourful. I'm serious. It all started with Instagram, which I had come off because of how anxious it made me and how...
You weren't getting enough likes.
Well, no, it was that I was being like living for the likes.
Yeah.
And not like, you know, even if I was getting 3 likes, I was like, great, someone's liking something I'm doing. And then on top of that, I have lots of mixed feelings about it. It makes me very anxious. I don't like people posting 300 photos of just their face, especially people in comedy, especially women in comedy, because I'm like, what separates you from someone? You know, you are intelligent and clever and you have stuff to say. But I was doing it too. Like, I was like, oh, hello. My arm looks thin. Better get that on the internet. So I came off it. And also just mainly because it's just a ridiculous distraction. And if someone shows me a photo of themselves, like their feet on a beach, I'm like, for fuck's sake, my life is a piece of shit because my feet are on a beach. They're on my kitchen floor and there's vinegar everywhere. So I came off Instagram, but then I got back on it thanks to the breakup. Whatever, I got back on it and I discovered slime. And let me tell you, things have never been better.
What? I still don't understand. Like,
it's something to do with ASMR. Have you heard of ASMR? Gentle whispering.
Oh, but you get sort of erotically fixated by certain sounds.
It's not erotic.
Sorry.
A lot of things charge me up. You know, I'm me so horny.
Is this like the videos you get on YouTube with people sort of crinkling paper
and cutting stuff? So that doesn't work for me. Whispering doesn't do anything. There are a lot of people making a lot of money doing it.
speaking like this. This is my makeup kit and these are my...
For all you ASMR people out there, this is free.
Autonomous sensory meridian response. A term used for an experience characterized by a static-like or tingling sensation on the skin that typically begins on the scalp and moves down the back of the neck and upper spine. It has been compared with auditory tactile synesthesia.
Yeah, so I think it started with this like whispering thing. Like I had friends who were going to sleep listening to these videos of this. There's a particular girl who's very good at it, who does on YouTube, who whispers.
I hate whispering.
I know. For me, I'm like, get it away from me.
Yeah.
And then I found slime. And now let me get an amen. So there's something about crunchy slime. For me, it's crunch.
Crunchy slime?
So there's a type of slime called phloem, which is like the
Old.
No, it's nothing to do with age. That's the beauty of slime. It's genderless. It is ageless. It's just slime. There are these videos of just girls playing with slime. There's another channel where this woman freezes paint and then crushes it up that I'm a big fan of. There are specific videos that I love called slime smoothies where people, slime makers, it's big business. There's a slime event and I'm going to it.
And are you seriously?
Yeah. Where the slime, I'm going to go and there's workshops on how to make slime. I live for it and I'm making a lot of it. I'm going to go back to a room where I have left a plate of slime open because I'm hoping that it will form this type of slime called iceberg slime where the top goes crusty if you leave it, get the air into it, and then you push through. It's the crunch into softness.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
You don't see, it's having an effect. So what you've just felt, mine is like, hey, way. I love it.
Wait.
This is an advert for Squarespace. Hey guys, it's Broshak with me, Paul Broshak. We got Mike here. We're going to talk about his new MMA comedy special. We're going to talk about his view counts, and we're going to talk about conspiracy theories. What's up, Mike?
Hello, Paul.
Hey, brother.
I'm fine, thank you. I don't want to talk about any of those things anymore.
You don't?
No. I want to talk about... I built a website, Paul.
All right, stream some fights, settle some beefs, stick it to the elites, that kind of thing.
No, it's mainly dog pictures, Paul. And I did it on Squarespace. Have you heard of Squarespace? I went to squarespace.com/Buxton and I did a free trial. And I tried some of the beautiful templates, Paul, and I typed things in. I dragged in pictures of the dogs. And before I knew it, I had a website, Paul. So I bought it and I've made some very sweet dog t-shirts and I sell those on the shop on the website.
Uh-huh. But do you still fight and stuff?
A little bit, but not really. Oh, and Paul, I wanted to tell you that when it comes time to buy your website or domain on Squarespace, if you use the offer code Buxton, you save 10%. Paul.
Thanks, Mike. Where'd you do that free trial?
Squarespace.com/Buxton.
And how sweet were the dogs?
Very.
Continue.
Hey, welcome back, Podcats. Tash Dimitriou there. Very grateful to Tash for making the time to come and talk to me. And I hope she's having fun out there in Canada filming What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series, which is due to air on America's FX network in the spring of 2019. And over here on the BBC sometime after that. Not sure exactly when. I've put a link to a little article and a trailer, a very short teaser trailer, in the description of this podcast, along with a few other related links. Very excited, though, about What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series. Would have been a little bit better if Buckles had been in it, probably, but, you can't have everything. I'm out here on one of the most spectacularly beautiful evenings I've seen in quite a while. Rosie's up ahead, as is my daughter, and they're gambling about in a very straightforwardly joyful way that makes me feel extremely lucky and grateful, and sort of offsets the anger and bitterness about not only being excluded from Stafflet's flats, but also from What We Do in the Shadows, which I think we can all agree I would have been perfect for. Speaking of Stafflet's flats, though, or if you're an American, Greek boy rents apartments, a reminder that you can see all six episodes of the first series on the Channel 4 4OD website. I've also put a link to that comedy blap in the description of this podcast. So we went to see Hamilton, the musical, this week with my daughter. It was a big birthday treat. She was just 10 a few weeks ago. And she knows every single word of that thing off by heart. I thought it was very good. And I'm not a massive fan of going to the theatre. It's not the theatre so much as the actual physical discomfort that gets to me. I generally don't like being... And I always get sat right in the middle of the row. And the rows are so thin. And you can't really move. And the seats are tiny. This is very boring, cliched complaints about a wonderful art form that really I shouldn't dignify by repeating. But the fact remains, I do have a slight terror of going to the theatre because I do like going to the loo regularly and often, and always find myself in the middle of a row next to some angry-looking folks who don't seem to want to get up. And, you know, it's very disruptive. People don't like it when you go to the loo in the middle. Anyway, it was fine. I managed to dehydrate myself sufficiently before our trip to Hamilton that I didn't need to get up once during the entire nearly three-hour performance. But it was very good. I can see why it's a sensation. Incredibly talented cast, and the songs are terrific. Bit disappointed that there wasn't more Formula One stuff in there, but there you go. And I was thinking I might do a mini tribute, possibly called Buckleton, with some very stirring rap songs about life out here in Buckles Towers. And maybe I could play some of them to Joe when we do our Christmas podcast this year. Not promising anything, but I'm saying it out loud in order to encourage myself to actually do it. Speaking of rapping and rappers, I've been watching the second series of Hip Hop Evolution or Evolution on Netflix. Very good. I mentioned it before on the podcast, the first series. Last episode I watched, I think it was episode 3 of season 2, was called Do the Knowledge, I think. And it focused on New York's legendary Latin Quarter Hip Hop Club. I say legendary, I'd never heard of it before. Watching the documentary, which indicates to you my very low level of expertise on the subject of hip-hop. Nevertheless, I knew quite a few of the artists featured on there, but it's all just fascinating. Really good interviews and great archive. So this episode that I watched, Do the Knowledge, was about KRS-One, who I did know a little bit about, and Scott LaRock. And they made their name, I believe, at the Latin Quarter Hip-Hop Club. Scott LaRock was shot. I remember listening to Tim Westwood's show in the car with Joe, who was a proper hip-hop head when we used to drive around as young men. And I remember Westwood talking about stop the violence. And then following that, all of this featured in this last episode of Hip-Hop Evolution was the wave of more Afrocentric and positive rap, represented by artists like Queen Latifah, Moni Love, De La Soul, Tribe Called Quest. That was my sort of era. That was the stuff that I really liked in the hip-hop world, I suppose, because it was a bit less urban and angry, and despite the whole Afrocentric ethos, I felt slightly less of a fraud listening to it. Anyway, I really recommend the show, whether you're one of the world's leading hip-hop experts like me, or just a fan of music. Rosie, come here. Come and say hello.
No, I don't really want to say hello.
Hey, how you doing? You want a scritch scratch?
Oh, the mere mention of a scritch scratch gets a very positive reaction from Rosie. Don't patronise me, just give me a scritch scratch.
All right, then. All right, let's head back. Thank you very much to Seamus Murphy Mitchell for production support, to Matt Lamont for edit support, to you for downloading this podcast. I really appreciate it. Take good care. And remember, on bonfire night, if the fuse on your firework fizzles, Don't return till it's safe to that Chisels. I love you.